Pleasure to be with you, and thank you for your attention yesterday. We're going to continue our studies today, and our topic for this morning is protecting our homes. And I want to look at two particular aspects. I want us to look at protecting our marriages and protecting our children. So on protecting our marriages, back in the Ten Commandments, and of course repeated in the New Testament, is thou shalt not commit adultery. And we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 5, 6, and 7. So if you want to go ahead and turn your Bible there. Now this is going to be written, as much Proverbs is, as from a father to a son. So the warnings in this text are going to be about the adulteress. After we look at these texts, we're going to turn to another side of that, which is warnings about the adulterers. But first, let's focus on these texts. So much wisdom here. Chapter 5, verse 1, my son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion. Your lips may guard knowledge, for the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. So when you enter a marriage, you have two people that make a covenant. They are giving themselves to each other. The two, as it says in Genesis, the two shall become, he leaves father and mother and cleaves to his wife, and the two become one flesh. And what does Jesus say about that? What God joined together, let no man put asunder. But there will be people who want that relationship put asunder. There will be females that will be throwing themselves at that husband. There will be males that will be wanting that female. People that don't respect God's rules. People that don't respect marriage. People that don't respect that family. And they will often be betraying their own family for whatever ego issues or issues from whatever back that caused them to act the way they do. And one thing that they will do is they'll just start this flirting. So like in the office, there will be these rather friendly comments made or some double entendres. And a lot of people make a mistake of thinking that's just flirting. I remember one young lady, she was married, but on Facebook she was pretending to be single. It's fun. No, it's not. That's just stupid and that's wicked. When you make a covenant to be married, you're married. But women know what types of words get a guy's attention, what type of compliments, what type of phrases. And a lot of guys have gotten themselves into trouble because some woman at work or whatever starts throwing those words out there, and, oh, they sound like honey. And he starts thinking he's all that in a bag of chips because this woman finds him irresistible. She's like a fisherman. You know, if nobody's biting there, she's going to say the same words to somebody over there. Don't listen to those words. In the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She doesn't ponder the path of life. Her ways wander. She does not know it. Now, sons, listen to me. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. We're going to come back and talk about that more. Respecting boundaries is really important in respecting marriages. There's things you don't need to be saying to somebody else's wife, things you don't need to be saying to somebody else's husbands, and there's associations that you don't need to be placing yourself in. Keep away from her. Don't go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. Now, I tell you one way that plays out today. How many times do you, somebody in your family, neighborhood, somebody on a work crew or whatever, you know a young man and he's paying paternity to this woman over here, and this woman over here, and this woman over here. And he's pretty much left with no money because, you know, the courts have ordered him to pay for all these children he's fathered. And what do you suppose those moms are doing with that money? Is it all going aside for college tuition and braces and stuff? She may be partying with some new boyfriend on his money. Your labors go to strangers. At the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and body are consumed. I've seen statistics from several years ago that among sexually active young women aged 15 to 25, the rate of having a sexually transmitted disease, this is several years ago, was up to about 40%. That's pretty high. You play stupid games, win stupid prizes. You know, and here now this fellow, toward the end, he's got disease and stuff and that he's brought upon himself. Don't do this. At the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, how I hated discipline and my heart despised reproof. I didn't listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to the instructors. I am at the brink of ruin in the assembled congregation. Instead, drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the street, let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. And as we pointed out yesterday, that doesn't say rejoice in your wife while she's a youth. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. You remember in Malachi, it talks about the tears of the women at the altar whose husbands had broken the covenant with the wife of their youth. Keep going. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulterer? A man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord. He ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is felled fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for a lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray. Drop over to chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandment. Forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And drop down to verse 23. Well, that's where I guess we are. For the commandment is a lamp and teaching a light. The reproofs of discipline are a way of life to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart. Do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. And by the way, now they're often glued on or something anyway. For the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is he who goes in to his neighbor's wife. None who touches her will go unpunished. People don't despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his appetite when he's hungry. But if he's caught, he'll pay sevenfold. He will give all the goods of his house. He who commits adultery lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself. He will get wounds and dishonor, and his disgrace will not be wiped away. For jealousy makes a man furious, and he will not spare when he takes revenge. He will accept no compensation. He will refuse, though you multiply gifts. There's a lot of people in prison because of some violence or a bar fight or a murder attempt that all started with people behaving foolishly and stupidly, just like this describes. Chapter 7, warning against the adulteress. My son, keep my words, treasure my commandments with you. Keep my commandment and live. Keep my teaching as an apple for your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Verse 6, at the window of my house, I have looked out through the lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of the night and darkness. Behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home, now in the street, now in the market. At every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him, kisses him. With bold face she says, I had to offer sacrifices today. I've paid my vows. So now I've come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I've found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bread with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. With such seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her like an ox to the slaughter, or a stag is caught fast, till an arrow pierces its liver as a bird rushes into a snare. He does not know it'll cost him his life. Now, son, listen to me. Be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. Many a victim has she laid low. All her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a way to Sheol, going down to the chamber of death. So he's enticed. Oh, this woman wants me, and he's enticed. He follows her. And he sometimes for the male also, this is satisfying his ego. Lots of times it's an ego trip for her, and this is an ego trip for him. You know, I remember one fellow, there was a woman like this at work, really pursuing him, and they were starting to exchange notes with each other about how they look so hot and all this kind of stuff. And his wife finds the notes. And so they sit down and talk with me. And he said, well, and he's a young guy, he said, a lot of guys at church don't understand what it's like to be young and attractive. So, so he's buying into this. I mean, yeah, normally, but hey, you know, when you're me. So this guy, he's buying into it. You know, it appeals to his ego. Many are her slain. Like that trashy woman. Of course, what he had to end up doing was quit that job, go get another job. You know, he's, you know, betrayed his wife. It didn't go as far as it could have gone, of course, but it's just foolish and stupid. Do you think she's still in mourning? Oh, I lost the love of my... No. Who was she with last weekend? Who's she... And where does that road go? Suppose he'd ended up with her. Is that a person you can rely on? Will the heart of this new husband be able to trust in that? No. Many are her slain. So foolish. But we want to turn our attention now to the flip side of that. Because not only do men need to beware of the adulteress, women need to beware of the adulterer. Because men can be as bad or worse. What was the top news story 3 years ago? It was not the Trump-Russia probe, North Korea, Hurricane Harvey, Las Vegas mass shooting, or Trump's first year. You know what it was? Sexual misconduct. Remember all those guys? And a lot of them, Weinstein, Matt Lauer, you know, a whole Bill Cosby, a bunch of them were married men. And there was a recurring defense. The men would say, Bill Cosby and others, it was consensual. It was Weinstein's lawyer. It was consensual. It was consensual. And we had a lot of talk about consent. This is 8 things you should know about consent on college campuses. So here is campus sexual consent form from the state of California. I'm not going to read you the details on it, but this is for young people there, signing an agreement before whatever's about to go on. New app will allow users to request sexual consent before dating. Here's a better consent form, okay? It goes like this. Do you take this woman or man to be your lawfully wedded wife or husband, to have and to hold, to keep yourself to him or her alone so long as you both shall live? That's the consent that we need to have. And then you're in a relationship where you have love and trust and you're not being betrayed and thrown under the bus and everything else. And now you have a secure place to raise children who need a mom and a dad. That's the consent we need to be looking for. I do. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Just think about, as you've seen people make these mistakes and you've seen what happened to the women, to the men, to the children involved, who often then think it's their fault that mom and dad split up. Just think about the selfishness, the foolishness, the violation of covenant, the betrayal, the entanglement, and the consequences, as we read about there in that. And the victims. Matthew 7:5-27-30, we talked about yesterday the huge problem of pornography, because there's a lot of men, they're not going out and physically being with a woman, but they're looking at the images of them, and that is a betrayal as well. Jesus said, if you're looking on a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Don't do that. If you're having problems with that, don't do that. And you say, well, I can't help myself. Yes, you can. And you know what you can do for one thing? If you're not behaving with the internet, stop paying the internet bill. You know, call and cut it off. Guess what? They'll stop sending it to you when you stop paying for it. You know, now, there's lots of good things you can do with the internet. So if you're behaving yourself, okay. But if you're not going to behave yourself, get rid of it. What did Jesus say in this very text? If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Do you want to go around like a pirate? No. If your hand offends you, you know, pirates apparently had a problem with this because they had the patch in the hook. But get rid of what you need to get rid of. And talk to a brother and get some help with that. Respecting boundaries. What you wear. So I'm doing counseling right now with a young couple coming out of a wrong lifestyle and living together. Now they're getting ready to get married, and they're making lots of changes in their life, wonderful changes. It's great to see. It really is. It's great to see. When I first started talking to him, he had hair like down to here, and then you could usually only see one eye, and she had some crazy colors going on, and then they sent me the pictures. All his hair was on the floor. He looked a whole lot better. They came over. They were both baptized. You know, she got her hair back to a more natural color. They're getting employed. They're making much better decisions now. And one of the things they said, she said, I threw away just a ton of clothes, because she'd been wearing clothes that just invited undue attention from other men. Watch what you wear. Watch how you communicate. Watch what compliments. Not every compliment needs to be stated. Don't make yourself too free in association with what you say and do with people that are not your wife. That's somebody else's wife. It's somebody else's husband. Companionship, closeness. A lot of times now what's happening, also besides the parties and the hooking up and the bars and stuff, there's emotional affairs. People are getting themselves emotionally tied up with another person, and then once there's an emotional affair, that leads to the temptation for the physical affair. And a lot of preachers and elders have got themselves in stupid situations like this. And sometimes it goes like this. There's a young woman, and she's having troubles and she needs to talk to somebody. If she's married, she can't talk to her husband because he doesn't listen. And so she needs somebody to listen. And so here he is. He's an elder. He's a preacher. He's a brother. And he wants to help. So he starts listening. And she starts opening her heart about her hurts and, you know, the way her husband doesn't value her and different things. And what does that bring out in a man? Is there something, go ahead.
Sympathy?
Yeah, yeah. Is there something in a man that wants to be the knight in armor that rescues maidens? Yeah, if you're going down, walking through the park, and you hear a woman screaming, and there's some man attacking her, it doesn't matter if you know her or not. As a man, what do you want to do? You want to go protect that woman. And so he rises to the occasion. And he starts listening and listening. Guess what she's missing from her husband? He's not listening. Guess what this man's doing? Listening. And so then, it's soon, oh, I wish my husband was more like you. Oh, your wife is so lucky. And there he is, he's wanting to be there for her. I had a friend of mine, he was an elder, good friend, and he told me he got entangled in a situation kind of like this. He said, I was arrogant. I thought, I'm so-and-so. I'm not going to be tempted. And he kept meeting with this, talking with this woman and his wife not there. But then, oh, you know, your wife is so lucky to have you. Yeah. And then he gets home and she's like, did you forget the milk? Oh, sorry about that. And I thought you said you were going to mow the grass last week. It's like this high. You know, she didn't meet him at the door and said, oh, I'm so lucky to have you. So he starts looking forward to that next counseling session, right? Neither of them were planning on having an affair. She had a problem. He's wanting to help. But she's starting to get emotionally dependent on the man that will listen to her the way she wishes her husband would. He's starting to get adoration. And so they both start looking forward to that, and then you get this emotional affair happening. And then sooner or later, there's some contact, and you lead to the respect the boundaries. What should he have done? My wife and I would be happy to talk with you. Help her. But my wife and I, and if the man would be winching in some marriage counseling, could we, you know, we'd be happy to do some marriage counseling with you. Respect that marriage, respect this marriage. Sure, a couple can help another couple, but don't do this. It's not respecting boundaries. People in their imaginations pretending they're married to somebody else, pretending they're somebody else. Don't do that, you're you. Don't try to be somebody on TV. Don't try to imagine and be covetous of other people's lives. How about invest in your own life? And rejoice in the wife of your youth. Quit pretending to be other people or pretending somebody else is somebody else. Develop this. In all of these things, respect boundaries. So, you might remember Vice President Pence was criticized. Why was he criticized? He would not go to dinner alone with a woman that wasn't his wife. And there are people that's really put him down for that. One of the things that was said there, if I can get to that, I missed the charter too. But there were some people who talked about, it's pretty shameful when the only thing that keeps you from, you know, accosting a woman is witnesses. No, that's just respectful. You don't do that. Don't go on vacation with some other guy's wife. You know, don't do that. And I've known couples where foolish things like this one couple, I won't go into all details, but it was terrible. Led to all kind of problems. Oh, it was so bad. But it started off with these two couples were real close to each other, and they would go on vacation. And when they'd go on vacation, this guy and this girl say they both like tennis. This guy and this girl say they both like antiques. Don't do that. Seven signs you're having an emotional affair. And the fonts are messed up here, but this is saying something like, you're dressing to impress somebody other than your spouse. You try to create opportunities to be alone with the other person. You delete text messages or emails from someone. You don't want your spouse to see that. You're having romantic thoughts about this person. You're comparing that person to your spouse, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is from a fellow online, Dave Wellis, who wrote some good things. I don't know who he is, but he wrote some really good things. Don't do that. And one of the things that leads to that is when you stop respecting boundaries. So, you know, when you're out in your yard, you don't go over to your neighbor's yard and start picking the cherries out of his tree. You know, you don't, when you're having a party, you don't take your picnic table and put it in his yard. When you're raking your leaves, you don't dump your leaves over the fence in his yard. You respect the boundaries. Respect other people's marriage and respect your marriage. This guy also says this. Being frustrated with your spouse is no more a good reason to get divorced any more than being frustrated with your children is a good reason to put them up for adoption. I think that's pretty good. Now I want to turn to protecting our children. One of the big mistakes that a lot of parents are making is underestimating the threats against our children. We might have grown up in a situation, well, I came out fine. My wife came out fine. And everything's going to be fine. So many young people are leaving the Lord. So many young people are getting trapped in, whether it's opioids or other drugs. So many young people are getting trapped in pornography. So many young people, and the world is not getting better and better. The world is getting worse and worse. And there are more avenues. Like years ago, pornography was, you know, your friend knows where his dad stashes the Playboys or something like that. Now you've got a multi-billion-dollar industry just waiting to target. And you know what happens with a lot of little kids? You know, years ago, I'm talking 15 years ago, the average introduction to internet porn was age 11. You know how it happens sometimes? This is how innocently it can happen. It can happen non-innocently, but here's how it happens innocently. What do you guys do when you hear something you're not familiar with? Do you Google it? So little kids are going to school and they start hearing other kids use words and talk about things that they don't know what are. So what are they going to do? They Google it. What's that? And have you ever noticed this? If you're looking for a new Maytag washer or a kayak or a Hyundai and you search online a time or two for it, what do you notice happens to all your news feeds and everything? All of a sudden, all these ads for kayaks or Maytag. So what's going to happen to a kid when they start pursuing a search or two? The world's worse than it was. Corruption from the entertainment media. And this is on all sorts of levels. The family is being so attacked. Some of the people really moving things in bad directions in our country right now, some of their goals are to destroy the nuclear family. They don't want that. They're coming from an either lesbian or gay or Marxist ideology or whatever, and they want to destroy the idea, oftentimes, of the family. Now, not every Marxist would do that, I suppose, but it's, man, when I lived in a country that had been Marxist, families were bad. It was really bad. Just the immorality in the country, kids were not close to, and one of the things that helped and as failure as a father and parent as I can sometimes be, I've, you know, loved my wife and my kids, and that was one of the things that would have drawn the checks, would have drawn the people over in East Europe. I remember one guy telling me, you know, I've never seen this. You know, they had parents and they had kids, but they didn't have tight families lots of times. It was just bad. And adultery was so common. You know, I remember talking to one girl, and her idea was, like, there was, she had this boyfriend that had been cheating on her, and she said, well, but he did not want me to find out. You know, that was like a gentleman, because, you know, because her dad cheated on her mom and everybody knew it. So it's like, hey, this guy, when he cheats on you, he tries to not, you know, do it obvious. Sidetrack there, sorry about that. But just in the entertainment media, going a long way back, just think how much fathers are undermined in the media. Now, you can go all the way back to, like, Jackie Gleason and the Honeymooners. And it's kind of funny, because the guy, sometimes we can be pretty stupid, and he's pretty stupid and a doofus, and his wife is having to put up with him. Okay, that can be kind of funny, and it can make us help do some self-examination. But then it's the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And you go through, you know, and down to, what was his name, Homer Simpson, and just and then all the sitcoms and everything else. The dad's always the idiot. Always the idiot. You know, the kids know better than dad. Mom knows that. Is that coincidental? So many attacks. And now it's being attacked that a guy is a guy and a girl is a girl. Somebody went to the doctor the other day, and the medical form asked what sex you are, and then what sex you were born as, and what sex you are now. Our Secretary of Health in Pennsylvania is a man in a dress that calls himself Rachel. That's the Secretary of Health. If you can't figure out if you're male or female, maybe you shouldn't be the Secretary of Health. Things are being attacked. But, and in the schools, this is being promoted. Not every teacher, not every system, but in a lot of them, it's being promoted. And somebody that opposes that is a terrible person. Somebody that accepts all this is wonderful. And it makes no sense logically. I was watching, what time do we end? We're probably, probably 10 minutes? Okay. I was watching a video. A guy went on campus, and he was saying things like, talking to different students, and he said, what would you say if I said I identify as a woman? And they said, oh, wonderful, good for you. And say, what about if I identify as an Asian woman? Oh, good for you, wonderful. And he kept going through a bunch of things that weren't true. And then finally he goes, what if I identify as someone 6'6"? And the girl went, but you're not. I don't know why something as insignificant as height was the point at which this girl, wait, but that's not true. But the social agendas, it's like, realize what's going on. And if you turn your kids over to the television set, to the internet, and the school system, don't be surprised when they're buying into this stuff that is constantly manipulated and pushed down their throat and crammed in their brains. We've got to stop underestimating the attack that's going on the family at every level. A man shall leave his father and mother, not his mother and mother, not his mother that used to be a father and his father that used to be a mother. A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, not a bunch of other wives, and they shall be one flesh. And Jesus says, what God joined together, don't let man put asunder, and bring children up who, if they choose to marry, will do the same. Corruption from the internet, pornography, we talked about that yesterday. Sexual predators. Watchdog.com is a website that will show you where registered sex offenders are in your neighborhood, in your community. And it may be, I did it the other day at mine, and I had hired a plumber from a house about a mile away. And when I checked watchdog.com, a guy in that house is, you know, a registered sex offender. And I got to wonder, is that the guy I had in my home? There's a lot of them out there. And because of internet pornography, they can now indulge themselves. When they catch a serial murderer, right? Or that's been killing kids and that type of thing. What do they always find on the hard drives? So they put all this garbage in there, which creates more and more appetite, and they go and the internet, whatever, guys will get started on pornography and they start looking for one thing, and then pretty soon it's like drugs. That's not enough. So then they need something more edgy. And after a while, that's not enough. Then they need something more edgy. I knew a guy ended up going to prison after he attacked his wife, who wanted to be a wife for him. Attacked his wife, tied her up, choked her into, you know, unconsciousness, ripped the phone off the wall where she couldn't watch the police, because he'd been watching the pornography that got into the violence end of it. So he didn't want her to be available as a wife in her loving relationship. He's wanting what he's seen. And there's a lot of sexual predators out there looking for children. A lot of people in the homosexual community got at a beginning in that because when they were little, they were preyed on by another person homosexually. And so their first sexual thinking and experience was in that realm, and it sends it that way. So, you know, years ago when people would say, oh, kids are having a sleepover. If you know the family and you know and you're willing to, because listen, it only takes a few minutes. A few minutes behind. And so many kids are getting abused and misused this way. I could tell some stories, but we're in a mixed audience and I don't want to gross everybody out, but it is just rampant. And if you put your kid in a daycare and there's 30 kids in that daycare, what is the percentage of those kids that have already been molested? And molestation can go from an adult down to a teen, from a teen to an adolescent, from an adolescent to a toddler. Educational agendas, relativism. You know, it's not right and wrong. You know, there's everything's relative, and promotion of homosexuality. So like little kids being given a book at school to read, and it's like another, you know, childhood book that's, you know, the pictures and everything, except this one is King and King. So here's the king, and he's trying to find, you know, a princess for the prince. And in comes this princess from this country. And the prince is not interested. And here comes another one. And the prince is not interested. Finally, here comes a prince. And then you have their kiss at the end with the heart over their lips. It's the two princes. And now you have king and king. And this is targeted in schools like to like first grade and or kindergarten and stuff. This was up in Massachusetts and different things. There's also on Amazon, I'm not going to give the name of it, but I saw this recently, I heard about it, and I checked it out, and it's actually there on Amazon, and they were actually still selling it. Kid cartoony looking books, basically for pedophiles. So it has like adults and kids in the pictures, and you could read it to a kid. It's full of double entendres and suggestions, but the five-year-old that the adult is reading it to doesn't know. And in the reviews, you can see people, oh, it's hilarious. You know, you're reading it to the kid. They don't have any clue and everything. What kind of a person would do this? I mean, it is designed. It is I complained to Facebook recently, and they were putting somebody's post, and they had been complained about by people. You know that little thing, you know, in the politics of what's gone on recently, how often Facebook deletes something or puts a warning on it. This was just a couple of months ago, and it was a guy in Louisville, Kentucky, talking about pedophilia and wanting your kids and what he wanted to do with your kids. And that was still up, and people complained about it, and Facebook said it doesn't violate our community standards. This was like a 50-year-old man talking about what he wanted to do with your kids, you know, sexually naked, et cetera, and doing drugs with them. And this is what he's posting. And can that be real? So I wrote Facebook. I flagged it. I wrote it. And I got messages back from Facebook. Thank you for your concern, but this does not violate our community standards. Presuming medical solutions for behavior issues. If anybody like to talk about this more in person, I've got a lot of information on this topic. And some of it is some experts have one opinion, some have another. Let me just say this for now. Medication can be life-saving and very, very helpful. Okay? Doctors can be life-saving and very, very helpful. Luke was a doctor. Sometimes you go to the doctor, and it's like the woman with the issue of blood. She'd been to many physicians, spent all she had, and was none better. But good doctors can do wonderful things, and oftentimes, medication is helpful and needed. And in your family, you'll have to make decisions with your doctor, and sometimes it's good to get a second opinion. But understand how overly medicated our society is. And we've gotten to the point now when somebody's misbehaving, it's assumed that it's a disorder of some sort that needs to be treated medically. Understand why this is the case. If you are a doctor and you've gone to a medical school, what was the premise, the biological premise of that medical school? Was it based on the idea that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? And God said, let us make man in our image, and he made them male and female. And he expects moral behavior, and there's sin in the world. No. What's the premise at the medical school? Evolution. So how did we get there? A random process of chemicals. So we are all the process of an unintended, unplanned, random accumulation of chemicals that accumulated and started living, and then the less fit ones didn't survive, and the more fit did, and after a while we evolved. And so from that mindset, if you are misbehaving, is that sin? No. Is that somebody created by God that's not submitting to the Word of God? No. You're just an accumulation of chemicals. So if you're misbehaving, what should the solution be?
More chemicals.
Chemicals. So we have, and there are, I mean, people talk about like chemical imbalances in the brain. There are chemical imbalances in the brain. But cause and effect has to be considered too. I will say this. In France, they do not treat, for example, ADD, ADHD, they don't treat it like we treat it. In some places in this country, it's up to like 9%, especially boys getting, you know, the doctor says, yep. And if you look at the stuff, the list, it's CDC, there's not a blood test for it. It's a behavior thing. And some of the things are, it has to be, professional has to diagnose it, and you have to be, over a 6 month period, have had this problem to a degree that's interfering in at least, say, four of them. And pretty much everything on the list is me. Loses things, you know, has trouble, doesn't like to do things that take a lot of mental effort for a long period of time. That's one of the things. I mean, it's like a lot. I was talking one time to a teacher, and she said, yeah, they give me these forms, and I have to say yes, yes, yes. And she said, I just want to write, he's a boy. Some kids may benefit from it, but I'll tell you, in France, they use medication for that in less than 1% of the cases. You know what they do instead? They look at what's socially going on with the child and they prescribe exercise. I was in a kind of a mom that was really upset in talking about this, and she said, but the brains are different. There's a part of the brain where it doesn't produce this particular thing. So I checked. Guess what produces that particular thing? Exercise. And so France refuses our diagnostic, whatever that manual thing is. They don't go by that there because they see other things that work better. And in reading up on this, I read one guy that said, he acknowledged, it's true that like exercise or these other things can be as effective as the medication, but the medication is quicker and cheaper or easier. So in a society where parents already aren't spending time with their kids, and the teacher doesn't want to put up with little Jim, and they've canceled recess where the boy can get out and get some, and now he's just sitting there, and then they complain like they did with my son. Well, he wiggles in his seat. You know, I had a teacher tell me, he said, yeah, they're self-medicating. You know, and it's like, don't automatically assume. In your you may have something in your family where you've talked to the doctors and you know and you've seen this really is what my child needs. You get to make the medical decisions for your family. But understand, we're in a society where over and over now, bad behavior is a disorder. Like there was somebody in the school system that the parents came to them and basically their kid was a, you know, misbehaving brat, but the parents explained, he has episodic discontrol syndrome. What's discontrol? Out of control. What's episodic? There are times when, you know, so, don't buy in to all of that. Finally, the feminism agenda's blurring of gender. And have girls dress like girls, not like prostitutes, but like young ladies, and boys like boys. And girls. 1 Corinthians 11 talks about a woman having long hair, it's a glory to her. A man having long hair, it's a shame for him. Let there be distinctions and be glad that boys are boys and be glad that girls are girls and honor the girls and help the boys to be men and help them to be healthy and not give in to this society that on every level is trying to destroy those valuable, valuable differences. And then declining standards of self-responsibility, et cetera, disentitlement stuff. It's to help our kids to have a joyous, wonderful childhood, but where they're also learning to work and grow up and take on responsibilities to help people and do things that are good and raise their children. Thank you very much.